that every person under the sound of my voice will have open ears to hear and an open heart to receive. Hallelujah. And Father, we're going to give you all the glory, all the honor, and all the praise in Jesus' mighty name. And the church said,
amen.
Amen. Praise the name of the Lord. I want you to turn in your Bibles to Isaiah, the 53rd chapter. Isaiah, the 53rd chapter. And in Isaiah chapter 53, Isaiah asks a question here. Verse 1. Isaiah chapter 53, verse 1. And the question he asks is this: who has believed our report? And to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? Read it again. Who has believed our report? And to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? And my title for you today, if you need a title, is The Greatness of His Power. The Greatness of His Power. Amen. Now, are your ears open today? Are your hearts open today? Glory to God. You know, I've heard people say over the years, and I've even had them come to me asking for prayer. And what they would say is that they wanted more of God's power operating in their lives or working in their lives. Now, let me ask you a question, those of you that are here in the sanctuary. How many of you want more of God's power working in your life? Amen. Now, you know, that should be every hand. That should be every hand. I know I do. I want more of God's power operating out of me. Not because I want men's attention. Not because I want folk to look at me and say, ooh, that Pastor Redfriend, boy, he sure is a mighty man of God, and he's this and he's that. That's not the purpose. The purpose is so that I can bring more glory to God with my life. Amen. And I know people will heap praises upon you, and it's happened to me, and the accolades and all of that. And, you know, that's part of life, you know. We can live with that. Did you hear what I just said? We can live with that, but we should not live for that. Someone say something nice about me, I say thank you and glory be to God. Amen. And it's encouraging when people say good things about you. Is that right? Amen. And sometimes if you're discouraged and you know, somebody pat you on the shoulder and say, listen, you're doing a great job or whatever, you know, that's encouraging to you. And of course, you can live with that, but you should never live for that. All praises and honor goes to God. If you have never learned how to deflect, you need to learn how to do that. What do you mean, deflect? When someone says something good about you, to God be the glory. You just deflect it on up to Him. Amen. Because Jesus talked about this, and I won't go into that, but He talked about, you know, men that want credit and want praises heaped up for them, and that's what they live for. Jesus said they have their reward. They have their reward. But let me tell you something. The Bible talks about heavenly rewards. Heavenly rewards. While we are here in this earth, we should be deflecting all the praise, everything good, all should be deflected right on up to the Lord Jesus Christ, because we know on that day at the marriage supper of the Lamb that Jesus, let me say it this way, at the judgment seat of Christ, He's going to reward us for our faithfulness here. Everything that we did openly and in secret for the glory of God, He's going to reward us for it. So we don't have to fight and scratch for attention while we're in the earth. Just serve God. Just serve God. If they say good things about you, serve God anyway. If they say bad things about you, serve God anyway. Hallelujah. Praise God. But we should all want more of the power of God operating in our lives. That way I become more valuable to Him. That's my works I'm talking about. He loves us all, and He loves us all the same. Can I get an amen on that? He loves you just as much as He do the person seated beside you, or the person in front of you, or person behind you. He loves you just as much. Amen. But some of His children become more valuable to Him than others because they have spent time, and we're going to talk about that, learning how to better please Him. You don't hand a 6-year-old your car keys and tell him to drive down to the store and bring you back a gallon of milk and a dozen of eggs. It's not going to happen. But if you have a teenager that's driver's age and responsible, guess what? You can hand them the keys and say, go down to the grocery store, bring me back a gallon of milk and a dozen eggs. If they're responsible. Amen. You're still here. The greatness of His power. God, listen to me, God wants to do something. I want to make this personal. God wants to do some things through you that you hadn't even thought about. You listening to me? I don't care how old you are or how young you are. God wants to do some things through you you hadn't even thought about yet. Turn in your Bibles to the book of Ephesians, the first chapter. I want you to grab a hold of something here. Ephesians, the first chapter. I love the first chapter of Ephesians. Well, I love all of Ephesians. But I go to the first chapter quite often. I go to the third chapter quite often. And you'll see why in a moment. But I'm going to pick it up at verse 15. And most of you are familiar with these verses. The Apostle Paul is praying for the church at Ephesus, and he's also praying for us too. Therefore, I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love to all the saints, do not cease to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. Now, pay special attention right here to verse 19. Are you ready? And what is the exceeding greatness of his power toward us who believe? You see that? Read it again. And what is the exceeding greatness of his power toward us who believe? And it goes on to say, according to the working of his mighty power. There is power, let me say it this way. There is more power available to you. There is more power available to me from God. And we should be going after it. Hallelujah. That's just lacking, just like someone telling you, a father telling one of the children that I've left you $10 million in the bank that you didn't know about. And now I'm turning over all rights to you to be able to use that money. Now, what are you going to do? Say, well, thank you, Pops. And going on about your business, life as usual? Or are you going to say, sir, hand me the checkbook. I'm getting ready to write some checks. In other words, I'm getting ready to use what you have given me. And we see right here in the Word of God, Ephesians chapter 1, verse 19, that we need to know and have a revelation of and an understanding of the greatness, the exceeding greatness of his power toward us who believe. Now, just flip over. Well, I don't know what kind of Bible you got. You may not have to flip over, but go to chapter 3. Chapter 3. I want you to see something. I'll just read this prayer as well. Should bless you. I pick it up at verse 14. For this reason, I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, from whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened by his, to be strengthened with might through his spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you being rooted and grounded in love may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width and length and depth and height, to know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Now take a look at verse 20, will you please? Now unto him who is able. Now unto him who is able to do exceedingly, abundantly, above all that we ask or think, according to the what? Power that works in us. It don't just happen automatically. We have to receive the power. We have to place a demand on the power. And we'll talk about that more later on. I don't know if I get to it here today. Some folk act the way they act because of what they don't know. Some people do the things they do because of what they don't know. Some people say the things they say because of what they don't know. I want to read this to you again. Say he's talking to me. Verse 20 again. Now to him who is able. I'm so glad he's able, aren't you? Who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to what? According to what?
The power that
works in us. Where does it work?
In us.
Huh?
In us.
Hallelujah. Glory to God. According to the power that works in us, we've got to get the power operating in us. In us. Hallelujah. Could y'all handle one more? All right. Flip over to the book of Colossians. Again, the first chapter. Thank you, Jesus. And this time I'll pick it up at verse 9. This is Colossians chapter 1, beginning at verse 9. It says, for this reason, we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that you may walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing him, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. Now, let's take a look at verse 11. Strengthen with a little bit of might. Huh? Is that in your Bible?
Yes.
Strengthen with all might according to what? According to his glorious power, for all patience and long suffering with joy. Now we've seen from three verses that the power of the living God is supposed to be operating in us. And there is a reason for that. There's a reason for that. Glory to God. Are you still here? Now, I want you to turn to Acts, first chapter of Acts. First chapter of Acts. Now we've read where the power of God is supposed to be operating on the inside of us. There is a reason for that. In Book of Acts, first chapter, I'll just pick it up at verse 4. And being assembled together with them, he commanded them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, "You have heard from me." For John baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days from now. Now, let me back up just a moment here. Jesus is telling them that the Holy Ghost is going to come upon you. Now, they were already saved. Matter of fact, in John, Jesus breathed on them and told them to receive the Holy Ghost. That's when they were born again by the resurrected Christ. Amen. Those were not a bunch of unsaved folks setting up in the upper room. Are you with me? So verse 5 again. For John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. Therefore, when they had come together, they asked him, saying, "Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel?" And he said to them, "It is not for you to know the times or the season which the Father has put in his own authority." Now look at verse 8. But you, the times and the seasons is not for you to know right now. But you shall receive what?
Power.
Shall receive what?
Power.
But you shall receive power when the Holy Ghost, a Holy Spirit, has come upon you, and you what? Whoa, let me stop there for a moment. I thank God for the baptism with the Holy Spirit. How about you? Change my life. Glory to God. Change my life. I thank God that I've been baptized with the Holy Spirit. I speak in other tongues every day. I hope you do too. And I'm not ministering on the baptism with the Holy Spirit in this session. But sometimes folk don't understand that when they are baptized with the Holy Spirit, there is for a reason. There's a reason. And one of the reasons is that we will receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon us. And Jesus told them, look at this, what he said. And you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth. They didn't get baptized with the Holy Ghost just for them. They didn't receive the power of God just for them. They received it so that they could go forth and be witnesses for him. How many of you know if you're going to be a witness for him, you need the power of God operating in your life? You need the power of God operating in your life. So that's one of the reasons that we need the power of God operating in our life so we can reach out and touch somebody else for the glory of God. Amen. As a matter of fact, Jesus told them, tarry in Jerusalem until he comes, the Holy Ghost. Now, when I was a young Christian, I was told that in order to be baptized with the Holy Spirit, you know, you had to tarry for him. Some of you may have been told the same thing. You know, you had to go up to the altar or whatever, and you had to tarry, and you know, you had to beg God and whatever, you know, to fill you with the Holy Spirit. But that's not the case at all. That's just like begging God to save you. Of course, I've been there too. When you don't understand, you do things that are unnecessary. And there are folks that have begged and pleaded with God to save them. You never have to do that. Jesus did the hard work. You don't tell me he suffered the way he did on Calvary's cross, was buried, and took our hell to hell for us, tormented for us. And then he going to come back and say, well, I'm going to tell you, I suffered for you. I suffered horribly for you. But now you have to beg me. Oh, no. Oh, no. Oh, no. It's a free gift of God. You hear me? It's a free gift of God. That's the reason Jesus died. That's the reason he rose again, so that we can be born again. We don't have to beg him. We just have to ask him in faith. You hear me? Just have to ask him in faith. But wait a minute. The baptism with the Holy Spirit is the same way. Because he also died so that we could carry the power of God in our lives. Not only have the Holy Spirit in us, but have him on us. And he said, tarry in Jerusalem until he comes. Why did they have to tarry? Because he hadn't come yet. He hadn't come yet. But when he came, I'm here to tell you, he has been here ever since. We don't have to go up to the upper room. He's already here. All you have to do is ask him, Lord, fill me with the Holy Ghost. Baptize me with the Holy Ghost. I want your power working in my life. And he'll do it if you ask him by faith. Hallelujah. The things of God are not hard. Man make them hard. Folk get frustrated. Matter of fact, you're looking at one. Because of a lack of teaching. I won't go into it here. Most of you heard my story anyway, but I won't go into it here. But if you can believe that, I struggled to get saved. I struggled to get saved only because I did not know what the Bible said. I had been around some people while I was in service that gave me some bad information. that there was error in their teaching. But I thank God I was already saved then. But then I wanted to be filled with the Holy Spirit. And I heard other teachings that didn't line up with the Word of God. I felt like God had something I wanted, but He didn't necessarily want me to have it. And that's just not true. How many of you know we need to stay with the Word of God? Amen. Yes, yes, we need to stay with the Word of God. Amen. Jesus wanted them to be baptized with the Holy Spirit, and all of his children thereafter should be baptized with the Holy Spirit. Not everybody is. Now, can I tell you something else while I'm on this subject, then I'm going to move on. Nowhere in the Bible does it say, y'all listening to me? Nowhere in the Bible does it say you have to be baptized with the Holy Spirit in order to go to heaven. Did you hear me? It doesn't say you have to be baptized with the Holy Spirit in order to go to heaven. It says you have to be born again. You still with me? You have to be born again, washed in the blood of Jesus. And that alone is enough to make you right with God. But if we go back to chapter 8 here, chapter 1, verse 8, it said, Jesus said, but you shall receive power when the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and what? And you shall be witnesses. Witnesses to me in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth. Not only did they witness through sharing Jesus Christ, telling what he did at Calvary, how he rose again. He shared that with them, they shared that with people as they went from place to place. But it wasn't just that. There were signs and wonders that followed. You know, when you pray for a sick sinner and they get healed, you get their attention. When you pray for a sinner that's bound or in bondage and God set them free, you get their attention. So they went forth and preached the word of God with signs following. Miracles, wonders. Amen?
Amen.
Oh, by the way, God never stopped performing miracles and doing wonders. He's still a wonder-working God. He is still a miracle-working God. Is there an amen out there somewhere? Hallelujah. Glory to God. Turn in your Bibles to Mark, the 16th chapter. Thank you, Jesus. You still want the power of God operating in your life? Thank you, Jesus. I'm just trying to decide if I want to Well, I'll tell you what. Let's go to 2 Timothy first, the second chapter. 2 Timothy, second chapter. We'll come back to Mark. Hallelujah. Now, how can we operate in this power? You raised your hand. You said you want more of the power of God operating in your life. And I had my hand up too. Glory to God. Write this down. And this is, I'm not sure if we're finished, but we'll start. The power of God works in us as a result of the study of God's Word. In other words, we got to read the Word of God. We've got to study the Word of God. Now, in 2 Timothy chapter 2, drop down to verse 15. Now, I'm reading from the New King James Bible, but I have them to put the King James Version on the screen just a moment. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15, it says, "Be diligent to present yourself, approved to God, a worker who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth." You see that? Amen. Now the King James says it says the same thing, but it says it a little bit different. Give me 2 Corinthians. Okay, you have it. What does King James say? Study. Study. Give some time to it. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. And that one thing that tells us is that the Bible, the word of truth, can be rightly divided and it can be wrongly divided. If it can be rightly divided, it can be wrongly divided. So we're told to give attention to it. We're told to study it so that we will be approved by God. And God can impart into us everything that we need so that we will not be a workman put to shame. Because we're wrongly dividing the word of God. Hallelujah. Are you still here? Amen. So now, we got to study the Word of God. The second thing is, you got to apply the Word of God. If you want the power of God operating through you, you've got to apply the Word of God. The Gospel of John, chapter 8. Gospel of John, chapter 8. Thank you, Jesus. Now, Jesus had been teaching here in the 8th chapter of John. And matter of fact, in verse 30 it says, "As he spake these words, many believed in him. Amen. Many became believers. But look at verse 31. Then Jesus said to those Jews who believed him, if you abide, you see that? If you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed, and you shall know what? The truth, and the truth shall make you free. Now notice here, it says you got to abide. You just can't jump in and out. All right? Now, verse 31, I want to go back again to the King James Version. John, now, this is the way the King James Version reads. Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, if ye what? If you what? If you continue in my word, then you are my disciples indeed. And he went on to say, and you will know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Let me tell you something. You can't walk into power being a part-time person of the word of God. No. Amen. This word, it has, must be more important to you, kind of like Job said, more than my necessary food. More than my necessary food. You know what? Let me tell you something. You may not have one biscuit in your refrigerator. You may not have one slice of bologna in your refrigerator. But if you have the Word of God and you know the Word of God, I'm here to tell you that food will come into you from somewhere. That makes the Word of God more important than our food. And of course, we need food to live. Amen. So Jesus told them to continue in my word, abide in my word. Stay there. Don't just jump in and out or just when you feel like it. Glory to God. Now, James chapter 1, and I've got to close here in a little bit. Wow. You know, you jump in the Word of God, seem like time flies, don't it? Well, I got a few weak amens. I don't know where the rest of y'all are. Glory to God. Let me make sure I'm at the right place myself. All righty. James chapter 1, beginning at verse 22. Listen to what he says. But be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. Read that to you again. Be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man observing his natural face in a mirror. For he observes himself, goes away, and immediately forgets what kind of man he was. But he who looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it, isn't that what Jesus said? If you continue in my word, then you are my disciples indeed, and you'll know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Well, James said it also. He says, but he who looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it, and is not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this one will be blessed in what he does. How many of you want to be blessed in what you do? Huh? You want to be blessed? I want to be blessed in what I do. I want to be blessed in what I do for the Lord. Well, how can I work for the Lord if I don't know what he's saying? If I don't know what his word says, how can I please him? I want God to do miracles, more miracles through me for his glory. Hallelujah. I want to be used by him. I want his power flowing forth out of me. Not just for me, but so that I can be a blessing to someone else. You feel the same way I do? Hallelujah. Just lift your hands and tell him so, will you? Come on, talk to him. Oh, glory to God. Hallelujah. Oh, Father. You're looking for willing vessels that you can empower. Hallelujah. Glory to your name, Father. Glory to your name, Father. People that won't abuse what you give them. People that will cherish and value everything that comes from you. Hallelujah. May we be those people that you are looking for. Hallelujah. And I'm getting ready to close out, but I want to tell you this. There are some hurting people, even as I speak, and they are hurting bad, that need a saint of God to come to them in the power of God, able to lay hands on them and get results, able to speak the word of God to them and get results. That's what people are looking for. And guess what? You and me are the candidates. Upstairs too. Amen. Look at the person beside you. And if you're not immediately beside someone, just talk to somebody. But let them know God wants to use you. Tell them. Tell them again. Hallelujah. Glory to God. He does indeed for his glory. And all we have to do is submit to him and do what he says. Get in his word. Continue in his word, and he'll do it. I didn't finish. If the Lord says the same, we'll finish this next week. I didn't finish. Praise God. But God's getting us ready. Hallelujah. Father, we thank you.